about the neutrino mixing and what are the prospects of what we can learn in the future. I will be talking about, say, near future, 10, 15 years, not more. So I will not talk about neutrino factories. So now, I think that all of you agree that there has been really remarkable progress in the studies of neutrino mixing and oscillations in the last several years. This was basically due to the results of SNOW, which showed beyond any doubt that there is no electron neutrino, non-electron neutrino component in the flux of solar neutrinos which arrives on Earth. And then these neutrinos had to be active. And then we had the results of Kamland, the first results of the Kamland experiment, which actually established the LMA solution essentially as a unique solution of the solar neutrino problem. Kamland also provided a rather precise measurement of the Borom neutrino flux at above 5 MeV. Now, a beautiful addition to these results have been presented here at the conference by the Super Kamiokande collaboration, the second set of results from Kamland, and then the K2K results. And these are all results which show indications, show a direct imprint of the oscillatory dependence of the vacuum oscillation probability either on the neutrino energy or on the quantity L over E. Here you see the beautiful L over E dependence of the mu-like multi-GV event sample of super K, which clearly exhibits the first oscillation minimum, the first oscillation dip in the data. And we had similar results from Kamland, which clearly showed the distortion of the spectrum of electrons which are measured in the final in the final state of the reaction at Kamland. By Kamland, this is more clearly seen here on the next slide. And we had also indication for strong spectrum distortion in the K2K data. So now our evidences for neutrino oscillations become close to being really to having proofs for oscillations. And now in the case of atmospheric neutrinos, the dominant channel is nu mu into nu tau. This further data on this transition will come from MINUS experiment and the CERN to Gran Sasso experiment in Europe. In the case of solar neutrinos, the data is due to a set of remarkable experiments: Homestake, Kamiokande, SAGE, GALAX, GNO, Super Kamiokande, SNOW, and from the reactor anti-neutrino experiment, Kamland. Here, the dominant transition is of nu E into almost equal mixture of nu mu and nu tau. And we expect to learn more about transitions from the Borexino data and from eventually from experiments which will be sensitive to the PP, very sensitive, or will measure the PP flux of solar neutrinos. We have also an indication for anti-nu mu, anti-nu E transition from the LSND experiment. This is being tested in Miniboon. And if we combine all these data in one picture and want to explain it in terms of neutrino oscillations, of course, we have to assume the existence of neutrino mixing in the weak charge lepton current. Now, a few comments about the data. In the case of atmospheric neutrino data, the best fit value from the of the delta M squared from the recent analysis came out to be somewhat lower than before, about 2.1 10 to the minus 3 V squared. The value of the mixing angle didn't change. We have sine squared 2 theta, 2, 3 bigger than 0.92 at 90% confidence level. Here, the thing to notice is the data doesn't determine the sine of delta M squared, which drives the oscillations. And when you consider three neutrino mixing and three neutrino oscillations, that leads to two possibilities for the type of neutrino mass spectrum, the type of neutrino mass hierarchy. We can have normal ordering of the masses, where the third neutrino is the heaviest, and this goes under the name of normal hierarchy, and it corresponds to a positive delta m squared. And we can have inverted ordering in the sense that the third neutrino is the lightest. This corresponds to inverted hierarchy spectrum and negative delta m squared. The other ambiguity that comes from this data is the value of theta 2,3 if it is different from pi over 4. The data doesn't tell you whether it's bigger than pi over 4 or smaller than pi over 4. And this ambiguity has to be resolved in the future experiments. This was the situation with the solar neutrino, the interpretation of the solar neutrino data before the latest Kamland results. Here, the maximal mixing was excluded at more than standard five standard deviations. And the high LMA solution was statistically disfavored, but not very strongly. Now, the new element is that this high LMA solution from the latest, from the latest Kamland data is excluded now at more, well, combined with the solar neutrino data, is excluded now at more than 3 sigma. That means that the range of allowed values of delta m squared, which drives the solar neutrino oscillations, has been reduced considerably. The values of the mixing angle, the values of the mixing angle didn't change. And the thing to notice is that this data implies that the best fit value of cos 2 theta 1,2 corresponds to 0.43. And you have a lower limit of about 0.2 at 99% confidence level, which is important for the predictions for the effective Majorana mass in neutrinoless double beta decay. Now, when we go to a three neutrino mixing analysis, in this situation, there is additional parameter which enters into the analysis. This is the angle which is limited by the Shaw and Paolo Verde data. And with the lowering of the value of delta m squared atmospheric from the most recent analysis, the limit on sine squared theta 1,3 becomes somewhat weaker. If you use a certain interval, I mean, the interval of delta m squared, which one obtains by combined analysis of super K and K to K data, one finds that this limit is about 0.074. A zero is missing here. At 99% confidence level, Concha and Maltoni have done a global analysis of all neutrino oscillation data, and they find that the limit is about 0.054 at 3 sigma, so somewhat more stringent than the other one. Now, in what regards the situation with LSND, the minimal scheme in which one can incorporate the LSND result is a scheme with 4 neutrino mixing. That is, one has to add a 1 sterile neutrino state in order to explain this data. This minimal scheme is strongly disfavored by the data, as is shown on these plots. And in order to explain or to incorporate LSND result in neutrino oscillation, in the general neutrino oscillation framework, it seems that one has to go to 5 neutrino mixing, and I'm not going to do that. So in the rest of my talk, I'm going to concentrate on the case of 3 neutrino mixing. This situation will be cleared with the results of Miniboom, which will come in a year or two. Okay, so 3 neutrino mixing. Now, we have the analog of the Kibibu-Kobayashi-Maskawa matrix in the lepton sector, which I will call Pontecorvo-Maki-Nakagawa-Sakata mixing matrix, or PMNS. And what are the fundamental parameters in this case? We have in the case of 3 neutrino mixing, there are 3 mixing angles which characterize the mixing. And there is 1 CP violating phase if the massive neutrinos are Dirac particles. There are 3 CP violating phases if they are Majorana particles. The 2 additional CP violating phases in the Majorana case are called Majorana phases. Now, if we use a standard parameterization of the mixing matrix, the Majorana phases, which are given here in red, actually are common phases of the second and third column of the PMNS matrix. If we identify the delta m squared, which drive the solar and atmospheric neutrino oscillations, and delta m squared 2,1 and delta m squared 3,1, then we can identify the angles which are responsible for those oscillations, The solar mixing angle is theta 1, 2, the atmospheric is theta 2, 3, and theta 1, 3 is the angle limited by the Shaw and Palo Verde data. Now, in what regards the Majorana phases, it is very difficult to get information on those phases. First of all, because the oscillations between flavor neutrinos are not sensitive to these Majorana phases. The effective Majorana mass in neutrinos double beta decay depends on the values of these phases, so some information about those phases can come from studies of neutrinos double beta decay. It is kind of amusing to remark that if you consider the decays like mu gamma in supersymmetric extensions of the seesaw mechanism of neutrino mass generation, then it turns out that the rate of this decay, which actually is predicted to be rather close to the existing limits, upper limits, depends on the Majorana phases. And we don't know whether these phases play any role in what regards the generation of baryon asymmetry within the leptogenesis scenario. On first sight, it seems that they do not. However, if you consider concrete frameworks, concrete theories, in some theories, it happens to be the case. Now, so as neutrino mixing parameters, we have the three mixing angles, one or three CP violating phases, depending on whether the massive neutrinos are Dirac Majorana particles, and three masses. Now, it is convenient to express two of the three masses in terms of the third one and the values of delta m squared, which are extracted from solar and atmospheric oscillation, neutrino oscillation data. And then, of course, one has to keep track of the fact that the delta m squared atmospheric can be positive or negative. And therefore, we have two types of neutrino mass spectrum, with normal and inverted hierarchy. There are different conventions in which one can incorporate that, which here are called A and B. Usually, one uses, most popular is the convention A. But however, I mean, B is also convenient when one considers, for example, neutrino-less double beta decay. Now, after these remarkable achievements in the studies of neutrino oscillations that happened in the last several years, now, future progress in our understanding of the origin of neutrino masses and neutrino mixing is related to a rather extensive program of research in this field. As final aims or goals of this research program, I see, or many of you, I think, also see the following. First of all, we need a very high precision determination of the oscillation parameters which drive the solar and atmospheric neutrino oscillations. One needs a measurement or improvement by a factor of 5 to 10 on the existing upper limit of sine squared theta 1, 3. Then it is of fundamental importance to understand what kind of neutrino mass spectrum neutrinos have. We have three possibilities here, three qualitative possibilities: normal hierarchical spectrum, inverted hierarchical spectrum. Then neutrino masses can also be quasi-degenerate. This happens when the mass values are bigger than about 0.2 EV if one uses the latest data. Now, it is of fundamental importance to get information about the absolute neutrino mass scale, because neutrino oscillations provide information only on neutrino mass square differences. This is a very non-trivial task. Then it is of fundamental importance to understand what kind of nature the massive neutrinos have. Are they Dirac or Majorana particles? This is related to the symmetries the particle interactions have. Finally, not finally, but the next point is the CP violation in the lepton sector. Is the CP symmetry violated in the lepton sector? If we find that it is violated, is it violated by the Dirac phase, or is it violated by Majorana phases? And then, of course, it is really worthwhile to pursue investigations of other manifestations of lepton number non-conservations other than neutrino oscillation. That is, it is very wise to look for processes like mu gamma decay, tau mu gamma decay, and so on. Finally, of course, the ultimate dream of the theorist is to find a theory of neutrino masses in mixing, which makes sense of all this. Now, let us look a little bit closer at the data, and let us try to understand about the neutrino mixing, and let us try to see whether some patterns emerge. Now, the solar mixing angle is about pi over 6. The atmospheric mixing angle probably is close to pi over 4, and the third mixing angle is very small, theta 1, 3 is smaller than pi over 12. So the mixing matrix that emerges from the data is very different from the CKM matrix. We have two large mixing angles, which are close to pi over 4, and one angle which is small, perhaps of the order of Khabibov angle, or maybe even smaller. Now, if you look at the deviation of the solar mixing angle from pi over 4, it can be characterized with a parameter lambda, which has a value which suggests, for example, that it is possible that the sum of the solar mixing angle and the Khabibov angle are equal to pi over 4. So it is extremely important to measure the solar mixing angle with high precision in order to test relation like this, because if we find that this is the case, that will be an indication of some kind of unified framework of quarks and leptons. Now, how can we explain this pattern of neutrino mixing? One possibility, which seems rather natural, is the following. We can assume that the maximal mixing angles, and 0, theta, 1, 3, comes from the diagonalization of the neutrino mass matrix, while the corrections which drive the solar mixing angle away from pi over 4 come from the diagonalization of charge lepton mixing matrix. So in this case, we have a product of two matrices. The PMNS matrix is a product of two matrices, one of which has a bimaximal mixing form. Now, given the fact also that delta M squared solar is much smaller than delta M squared atmospheric, such a bimaximal mixing form may come from a matrix, neutrino mass matrix, which can have an approximate symmetry which corresponds to the conservation of Le minus L mu minus L tau. Now, obviously, this symmetry cannot be exact. Now, there is an extensive literature, actually, in which these possibilities and variations of it are discussed. And the investigations in this field continue, I'm sure, and they will continue for some time before we have more accurate data. Now, let's look a little bit closer at this possibility. Let's denote the mixing angles which come from the charged lepton mixing as the signs as lambda ij. Then one can, performing a phenomenological general analysis, one finds that there are three possibilities regarding these mixing angles. All of them can be small. Lambda 2, 3 can be 1 maximal, that is pi over 2 theta 2, 3. And the other two can be small, and all three of them can be large. Let's look at the case of small mixings coming from the charged lepton mass matrix. Then several simple possibilities emerge, in which the charged lepton mixing matrix is given by has CKM-like form. And in this case, what is interesting is that the deviation of the solar mixing angle from maximal is determined by theta 1, 3, the angle which is limited by the Shaw data. That means that theta 1, 3 cannot be 0. Actually, if one takes 90% confidence level, one has even a lower limit on theta 1, 3, which is of the order of sine squared theta 1, 3 of the order of 0.03. Now, the mixing angle, the atmospheric mixing angle, sine squared theta atmospheric, can deviate from 1 substantially in both cases. If we consider the case of lambda 3 equal to 1, and lambda 1, 2, and lambda 2, 3 small, then the difference between the previous case is that sine squared 2 theta atmospheric is practically equal to 1. So a measurement of the mixing atmospheric neutrino mixing angle can provide a possibility to distinguish between various theoretical cases. Now, if we go to the case of CP non-conservation, then the PMNS matrix, in the most general case in this framework I am following, can be represented as a product of four matrices, two of which are CKM-like and have three angles and one face each. And PNU and QNU are two phase matrices which contain two CP-violating phases each. Now, if we want to stick to the case of neutrino mixing matrix in the PM&S matrix, that is, the mixing matrix which comes from diagonalization of the neutrino mass term having a bimaximal form, then the simplest possibility that we can have, we can consider a Majorana mass term of this form, where M is a general mass scale, epsilon is a small parameter, and we have three phases. Now, the parameter epsilon determines the value of delta M squared atmospheric in terms of delta M squared, delta M squared solar in terms of delta M squared atmospheric, and it is small, it is of the order of 0.025. In the limit of epsilon equal to zero and no mixing from the charge lepton sector, this matrix conserves this quantum number, Le minus L mu minus L tau. So perhaps the pattern of neutrino mixing that arises tells us that there is an approximate symmetry of fundamental particle interactions of new type. Now, if the charge lepton mixing matrix is non-trivial, then what we get is that two of the three phases in this matrix become physical CP-violating phases. And following this analysis, one arrives at rather interesting relations to leading order in the small parameters, for example, between the rephasing invariants which are related to the Dirac CP violation phase and the ones which are related to the Majorana CP violating phases. That means that the CP violation effects due to the Dirac phase and due to the Majorana phases in this framework are interrelated. A particular simple relation, for example, or expression of this in the case of the effective Majorana mass, which is measured in neutrino-less double beta decay, arises when two of the phases are equal, B prime is equal to gamma prime is equal to zero, the difference being small. Then we get that the effective Majorana mass is given by its minimal value plus a correction which is directly related to the Yarlskog invariant, which is measured in neutrino oscillation experiments. So the test of such relations, of such possibilities, can give us hint about the underlying theory between neutrino masses and mixing. Now, how do we proceed further in the measurement of the basic parameters in neutrino mixing? Now, we have at our disposal a set of experiments and projects for experiments. We have the Super K, possibly a new experiment on atmospheric neutrinos, ENO, which is of the type of the monolith project, monolith detector. Then we have SNOW, SAGE, GNOIS ended. In the future, we will have Borexino and perhaps low new experiments, which will measure the PP neutrino flux. Then we have a set of reactor experiments at different distances, accelerator experiments, K2K, Minos, Opera, Icarus. These are long baseline accelerator experiments. Then there are projects to have super beams, some of them quasi-approved, others in a stage of elaboration. These are the GHF project, then the NUMI project in the US with different baselines, 300 kilometers, 800 kilometers. And then we have the CERN to Gran Sasso project with use of super beam, neutrino beam, and a super intense beta beam, which comes from radiatic decays of light nuclei. Now, here one thinks of using a UNO-type detector, which could be of two versions, 440 mega, meg, 440 kiloton or one megaton. Then the final or the ultimate dream is a neutrino factory with a baseline of the experiments of 3,000 and 7,000 kilometers. For absolute neutrino mass measurements and for determining the nature of massive neutrinos, we have neutrino-less double beta decay experiments, tritium beta decay experiments, and we can have some help from some data from astrophysics and cosmology. Can I take 1 or 2 minutes from the discussion? Okay. Now, in the case of absolute neutrino mass measurements, the project that will provide very important data is Katrin. It will probe the region of neutrino masses which corresponds to quasi-degenerate neutrino mass spectrum. This project goes ahead, and it seems data is planned to start to be taken in 2008. Then we have neutrino-less double beta decay experiments. These are, in my opinion, highest priority experiments. The situation here is the following. There is a claim for a positive signal at more than 3 sigma by Kladur, Klein, Grothaus, and his collaborators. It was published in Physics Letters recently. And the effective Majorana mass, which is inferred from this data, is between 0.9 and 0.1 and 0.9 electron volts. Now, if this is correct, that would mean that neutrino mass spectrum should be of quasi-degenerate type. There are 2 experiments which are taking data at the moment, NEMO and Cuoricino, and which aim to reach sensitivity to the effective Majorana mass of the order of 0.2, 0.3 electron volts. I should say that it would be very difficult to perform a comprehensive test or check of this result. However, there are a large number of projects which are being discussed at the moment which plan to improve the sensitivity to M effective by a factor of 10 from the experiments which are running now, reaching the limit of 0.01, 0.05 electron volts, and here are the names of some of them. So what I want to say is that sooner or later, we will be at a position where this result of Kladur will be tested. Now, the other very important, in my opinion, measurement that should be done in the near future is the theta-1-3 measurement. And apart from many other things, theta-1-3 controls together with the Dirac phase, the CP violation affects neutrino oscillations, and this is the only way, sensible way, that we can see to probe the possibility of CP violation in the lepton sector. Now, probably I should conclude, and just let me get to the final slide. Okay, I think we are there. So, I think that you would agree that we are at the beginning of a road which leads to our complete understanding of neutrino masses and mixing, and it's a non-trivial road. It will take probably a lot of time to reach the top of this mountain that we have to climb. And we don't know actually what kind of view we will get from that mountain, but I have no doubt that as in this painting by the ukiyo-e painter Hiroshige from the Edo epoch in Japan, it will be of dazzling beauty as the view that you see from the mountain here and that opens to you on this painting. Thank you.
Only a couple urgent questions, please.
Yes.
Are there no theoretical guidelines to search in any direction? I would be surprised.
No, of course, theorists also do their work, and they're probing various approaches to understanding of masses and mixing. However, I guess that the contours of the right theory, even if we may have it today, we will not know until we have more precise data on masses and mixing. More precise values of the mixing angles, the value of theta-1-3, then the nature of massive neutrinos is very important to know whether they are Dirac or Majorana particles, and finally the sign of delta M squared, the type of the spectrum. So before we have data on these quantities, it will be very difficult to be sure that even the most beautiful and most comprehensive theory we have in description of other phenomena is correct.
Any more?
I think it's important to point out that the class of models you talked about with the conserved lepton number, nearly conserved lepton number, LE minus L mu minus L tau, definitely implies an inverted hierarchy. So if one sees an inverted hierarchy, that's encouraging for those models. If one sees a normal hierarchy, those models are ruled out.
Right.
And the interesting thing is that with type 1 seesaw models, on the other hand, that they tend to prefer a normal hierarchy. An inverted one is possible, but the solution is very unstable. And so between those two classes, one will be able to distinguish.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.